Welcome, lady and gentleman, to the Ghoulcast. This is kind of a special episode. A few months back, a lot of us had our second annual Flint Fright Film Festival, and during the course of that, we did three film panels, and our good pal Paul was wise enough to record them, and we thought that we would sprinkle them in to our shows from time to time, and we're going to start that off with this one. And this particular one is a discussion moderated by Paul Kanellis with some of Flint's filmmakers. Flint has actually a very strong filmmaking group. So sit back and get ready to be regaled by stories of Flint filmmaking in all its finest.
So I
was asking them.
I need to sign a waiver.
Everybody, turn your phones off.
All right.
Including you, Dave.
Turn it off before I get
a lot of people.
Always thinking ahead.
Or you just didn't turn it back on yet.
Well, what are we calling this? The Flint Filmmakers Fun Fest.
Okay.
Extravaganza of filming.
Yeah.
Boogaloo.
Part five. Okay.
Five guys. Talking.
I just got the fireball. That's like.
Five Guys Talking Film.
You got the hot ones again.
Yeah, I did.
Five Guys Talking Film. I like that. So,
NFO.
Let's start with everybody introducing themselves.
Hi, I'm Jeff Swerden, filmmaker from Flint, Michigan. Now I live in Waterford. I run Verna June Entertainment.
Matt Woodbury, Papa Zero. I like the film shit. So,
that's
my point. And I love 7-Eleven Entertainment.
I know that guy.
Sir?
You're introducing yourself?
I'm Paul Kanellis. James Lipton. You are electric.
Thank you. I'm Tyler Zikafoos of Atomic Swan Films, a film company out of Flint, Michigan, and I'm here today with these four fine gentlemen.
It's with the Flint Public School. John Benjamin, Anarchy Productions, and I don't know any of these people. I smelled food, so I just walked in off the street.
Wait, there's food?
There's food.
There's a buffet at my table.
Oh, there's food? Well, you guys have a good night.
Yes.
Hope you enjoyed the discussion.
Best part of film, craft services.
So, I got some few questions, but I figured we could play it by ear. But so, since we're at the Flint Fright Film Fest, I figured we could start out with everybody talking about maybe their favorite horror film and kind of lay the groundwork for, you know, the bigger discussion of how we make our movies.
That's a tough one. Could I do two?
Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm going to do three and Bridges of Madison County.
All right. All right.
Those are my three favorite horror movies.
Bridges of Madison County.
Hey, it tugged at you.
It did.
It did. I mean, it pulled the same kind of emotions, just in a different way.
I might have to think about that one.
Give it a lot of thought.
That's called porn.
Well, I have two. There's a movie from the early 80s called Sleepaway Camp that had the best twist ending of a film since probably Psycho. And then the other one is an unconventional one, is Vertigo, mm-hmm. just because it's Hitchcock and it's... It's like that horror thriller, but not really like blood and guts.
Right.
It's just kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Name one of my movies.
Halloween. Please. That was one of yours.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And the first movie that really scared the shit out of me was Wizard of Oz.
Me too.
Because of those effing monkeys. Mm-hmm. They had nightmares on them, so.
The witch was not, no.
I wasn't scared of the witch.
I was scared of the witch and the
she
monkeys.
She didn't fly.
I was a little tiny bit scared of the lion.
What about the Tin Man?
They're scared of me.
Nope. Hey, just those damn monkeys.
She flew in a tornado, didn't she?
She did.
She was on a broomstick.
What about going by the window?
Is this your opinion or my? I like the monkey scared. The
no, we're going to break this down. No,
just the monkey.
What about you?
So I'm kind of a weird independent filmmaker. I've actually not watched a lot of horror movies. So when I grew up, we weren't really allowed to watch movies.
Of the four you've seen, which one did you...
So I...
Twilight?
that was pretty scary. As I've gotten older, I really like Nightmare on Elm Street and Signs and Sixth Sense.
Cool.
Your mother is here.
Yep. And my mom's favorite kind of movies are Disney movies, which means I watched a lot of
horror movies.
I'm sorry.
Really?
Okay.
But did you want you to watch Mr. Boogity and stuff like that?
When I was little, when I was a kid, the only scary movie that I ever watched was Nightmare on Elm Street. I seen Leprechaun, and I seen the movie called House.
House is great.
House is awesome, but it's not watching it now. It's not really as scary as it was.
It's just
when I was
funny.
Kid.
House 2 is better.
Yes.
The second story.
The cowboy.
Come on, it's the cowboy.
No,
it's
everyone
West,
says
man.
That. No, yeah. No.
What about House 4? They skipped over 3. Let's just go right
to
4.
That was terrible.
Awful.
See,
but you like
it. Didn't even have anybody from Cheers in it.
That was awful.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so as a filmmaker, what are your influences?
What or who?
What, who, anything.
So the thing that got me wanting to make movies was actually when I watched Lord of the Rings. So the very first Lord of the Rings came out when I was just out of high school. And when I seen all the detail that it got...
I feel so old.
When I seen all the details...
You're a guy in Geritol? Oh.
And the fact that, you know, you're able to tell a story over the course of three really long movies, but they all, you know, had a lot of actions and stories going on, and seeing the scale that was shot on really made me think that, you know, I could do something like that.
Like from the first one that you saw, or as it went on?
So the very... As soon as I walked out of the theater, I knew, like, I wanted to write movies. What's interesting is I wrote since I was a little kid,
right.
And I always seen things as a movie, but I never thought about making movies. So it wasn't until like later in life that I finally put the two together that, hey, you know, what I'm seeing is a movie.
And you found it in a pretty ambitious one too.
Yeah.
Because I saw it in Clerks. I'm like, oh, I could probably do that.
Right.
I wouldn't look at Lord of the Rings and be like, yep.
Yeah.
I got that. That's yeah. No problem.
I was like, yeah, like 300 people, like, you know, working for you, working with you, you know, putting this together. I thought that'd be awesome.
That is awesome.
So. We'll get there.
Cool. Your mother's there. We're going to fact check a lot of stuff.
We're going to go right to her.
Yeah. Is that right, Lori?
Is that true? Is he lying?
Mine's just opposite. I watched The Blair Witch, and it scared the shit out of me. Then I found out what happened and how they did it, and it just blew my mind. And what was the other one? Who or what? What influences real life?
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I'm like, yeah, I love horror, but I like history too, and that's, I found my wheelhouse, and I've been doing that for a while, and.
Well, you've been kind of doing horror history even, yep. Right, with the ghost thing?
Yeah, and it's doing really well. I didn't have a release or nothing, and it's doing really well. I've been getting a lot of repeat customers from my other films, which makes me feel really good that I'm, you know, have people that follow me that actually rebuy my stuff, so.
As a documentary. Is there any that you saw, maybe, that were like...
Well, it burns, but, I mean, The Blair Witch is filmed like
right,
that.
Right, right, it is,
and,
right.
It was just so raw and heartfelt. You know, I just felt the passion, and that's why I love watching indie movies, is because there's so much passion in it. With this Hollywood bullshit, you know, they just rehash and reboot, and there's so many good writers and actors in this indie stuff that I think that should be more promoted.
Yeah, there's a lot of passion.
And these guys kind of influenced me, too.
Sorry
about that. Yeah, sorry about
that. Two of them. I ain't going to say which ones.
All right, I can answer you. Scooby-Doo. And no. What's your influence, buddy?
Are you ready for the... There's,
I am.
There's three gentlemen.
Let's hear them. Lay them on us.
Roger Corman.
Knew it.
Absolutely.
Ed Wood. Absolutely. And Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh.
If you look at all my films...
Yeah.
You look at those three directors and look at me. They're...
What about Part 4, William Castle?
No.
No?
Not William Castle.
Okay.
That's just, the fourth part is just like life, but that's really not personal.
Okay.
It's just life in
general. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Because
yeah.
Lloyd Kaufman was the, you know, Roger Corman was the king, the mastermind, but before him it was Ed Wood. Ed Wood had the foam plates and the pans with the duct tape and fish and twine to make a flying saucer. And then Roger Corman decided to market everything. He could be a genius at that.
Yeah.
And then Lloyd Kaufman figured out how to make...
And wrench every dime out of every dollar.
He did.
Exactly.
What did he do, Little Shop of Horrors, in 72 hours?
Roger Corman, he did in like 48 hours.
Yeah. One week.
I did a...
It's crazy.
Now, me, on the other hand, I can film a movie in 2 hours and edit in 6 hours and be done with it by the end of the day.
With a thump on the table.
Yes, sir.
It's like name that tune. Well, I can do it in an hour and a half. What about you, John?
Influences?
Yes.
I got two, and they're, one of them's going to sound really silly. One of them was my dad. He was the birthday. He would bring out the 8mm camera and the lights that would burn your retinas, and he would edit. He had the equipment.
He edited.
He taught
like
me how to splice and yeah.
Hi, Angie.
Hi, guys.
Hey there.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jeff.
Not to be disruptive.
Oh, too late. No, but I learned a lot from Dad. Just on filmmaking, he would always have that damn camera out. And in the wonderful world of Disney, a bunch of kids were making a Dracula movie. He's got the same camera my dad has. Then the light went off. I'm like, okay.
That's how they do that.
That's how they do it. Of course, theirs was perfect. You know, they right. had a Scooby-Doo crime they had to solve. And at the end of it, their movie was perfect. Our Dracula movie was so dark you couldn't see it.
Oh, wow.
And the Dracula had a Led Zeppelin t-shirt, but that's beside the point. But Disney and Dad.
That's cool. Awesome, man. All right. I don't know if this applies to you. Well, it does because you make horror. But when did you want to make horror? And I know you didn't start out to make horror. Mm-hmm. So when, what made you want to do it?
So the fans, actually. So like the horror films that have the biggest following of people, usually the most dedicated following, you know. So if, for a lot of filmmakers breaking in, horror seems to be the most forgiving genre because you can get away with a lot more stuff effects wise you know, you can kind of cheat with a few things,
you kind of learn your craft, right, while you go,
right. And the big thing too is like festivals, so you have a pretty open forum to try to get your movie out, mm-hmm. you know, because that's all about trying to get exposure and things for your movie. So with horror, you have a lot of horror conventions and film festivals, and, you know, especially around Halloween, you have a lot of weekends that are themed towards horror and Halloween. So making a horror movie is, you know, a good way to get into the business.
So it was sort of more almost necessity.
Right. Yeah, cool. So, and I'm not like, I wasn't always a big, huge horror fan, but I like suspense. And suspense right. is found in any kind of movie. Once you learn how to show suspense or drag out a moment or those kind of things, that can apply to anything. So if you learn that while making horror movies, you can apply that to your other films.
So. Awesome.
Are you buying the footage? There's a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot camera. Happening here.
I didn't sign any waivers, so I'm going to be rich. So.
Everybody look this way.
Thanks for not being disruptive.
I did when I walked in. Okay. These people inspired me.
These people. Okay. Got it. What about you, sir?
Actors always steal the spotlight.
They do.
Horror? I kind of felt... I started out filming because I'm a hunter, and nobody believed me when I told them a story. So I started bringing my camera, and I fell in love with the process. And my friend Dennis Potvin was taking pictures of a ghost town. And he's got a super good eye. And I fell in love with the pictures. So I called him up. I'm like, look, we got to do documentary on these ghost towns. And he is a failed movie writer. And he went to U of M to write. And he's like, well, why don't we do like a Blair Witch show, which tugged my heartstring.
You were like, yeah.
And so we formed Haunted America, and half of it we did complete bullshit, and then the other half we did the real life doc, what happened to the ghost town. And I got like 18,000 hits on YouTube, and then his stuff got 600. But then
don't glow,
well, right?
I'm right, so I will glow. So then after that, I mean, it's just like Jeff said, it's easy and it's fun, and It's always been a love of mine. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I used to go to like the Northwest Theater and watch horror movies for like 8 hours in a row and watch Hammer movies and stuff like that. And it was like a natural progression of it. And I've always been fascinated with ghost stories and stuff like that. So
awesome.
Sir Graves too was yes. a big one.
Yeah,
he was a bit. That was the big, ritual.
Yeah, yeah.
For you squirts who don't know,
yes.
Youngsters.
Saturday mornings yeah. or
afternoons. Yeah, 2 o'clock.
Showing your age. Channel 50.
Tyler?
I got a couple of them. As a kid, I was the youngest. There was three older cousins, and I would always go over to their house on the weekends. So on Friday night, we would go to like Jumbo Video or one of the video stores, and we would just peruse through the horror section, and there'd be all these different horror boxes. Popcorn, Witchcraft, Maniac, Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead. They were all... I was fascinated by the box covers. I'm like, well, that's got to be either a very good movie or it's going to scare the living shit out of me.
Right. So, or it's just a really cool clamshell.
Yeah,
with
just
a bunch of garbage
just
inside.
And I'm like, well, as I got older, I got cameras and messed with them. I'm like, I can do this. I can make... Let's make a cover and then let's make a movie and go from there.
So you were more interested in the box art at first.
Pretty much.
Ah.
Like Popcorn the movie. It's not a very good movie. It's not, but that box cover of her face, half skeleton, half human, just falling off, that's iconic.
It's
or
quite
Maniac.
Compelling.
Maniac, you got a decapitated head holding with a knife in the other. But I did not like Friday the 13th covers or like Nightmare on Elm Street. They were just too corny. Too much going on.
Okay.
Too tame for you.
Wait, time out. You said you didn't like corny?
They're very corny. I don't
like them. He didn't like them then.
And what's the name of your film?
Here we go.
Which one? The new one? Well, Nightmare on Elm Street. It's not about a psychotic pedophile killing people. I mean, I'm making a radioactive skunk movie, so.
That's not corny.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the box art is what makes it.
That's it.
Love you, Tyler.
So you literally love the marketing.
I do. I'm a salesman. That's what I do.
Yeah.
It's called bullshitting. You're good at it.
I'm a good salesman. That's what it is.
You're a good bullshitter.
It's only bullshitter if you don't make money.
What was the question?
When did you want to actually make horror movies? Like, what was it?
The day after that Wonderful World of Disney came out.
Okay.
Again.
And then Sir Graves.
Sir Graves. I'm like, I got to do it. I had no choice.
Did you watch The Ghoul?
I did not. Not until later.
Okay.
He was the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't watch The Ghoul either.
I watched them both. But
I am demented.
I actually sent him a drawing. You remember how he would, you know, kids could send him drawings of Frankenstein or Dracula?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he got it. I got a letter from the station. Hey, we're going to put your thing up. They started panning the camera over, and it got preempted. Well, you were this close. You know, I remember my mom was this close. I could see your signature, you know, and I'm like, son of a bitch. So, that's my Sir Graves story. But he was a huge influence. Yeah. We watched those movies. And, again, Dad loved horror movies, too. I found a stash of Famous Monsters.
Not Playboy.
You know, under like...
Wait, was he hiding the Famous Monsters?
Yeah. It was fucked up. I'm like... Oh my God, Lon Chaney, Bela Lugosi. Oh, that's how they do it. Okay.
Right.
He hit him.
Yeah.
And I blame him for the ruination of my life.
They tried to hide him on you.
Yeah, that was
true. So I don't know if this is redundant or not, but, well, no, because it doesn't have to be a horror director, but who are your favorite directors?
For me, I guess, like Peter Jackson, Steven Spielberg, you know, Robert Zemeckis. So that line.
Blockbuster.
Well, that night, and actually, I'd say more recently, but like Guillermo del Toro, like I really like the creatures he makes and his worlds and stuff is pretty cool. Tim Burton's kind of on and off. Some stuff's really cool, and some stuff I don't want to watch again. But, you know, so other than that, and then being a filmmaker, I think you can learn from every movie you watch.
True.
You know, so everything you watch.
You can learn
is,
right or wrong.
Exactly.
Right.
You know. So that's one of the big things for me. Like if I'm watching a movie and you start to kind of get lost in the story or, you know, you get pulled out of the story because something's wrong, then I start looking at the camera angles and the lighting all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Interesting.
Carpenter, Spielberg, and Hooper. That's it.
That's the Holy Trinity for you.
That's it.
Again?
I already know.
Here we go. Kaufman.
See, that's what I was wondering.
Kaufman, Woods, and Corman. Enough said.
Right.
Yeah.
But like...
I don't like the mainstream directors.
Right.
Like, honestly, Spielberg has only done three good movies.
Jaws. Close Encounters.
Duel. Poltergeist.
Oh, I'm on
beat. I don't care what anybody says.
Close Encounters. Are you serious?
That's four.
Oh my God.
Duel. No, watch Duel. Watch Duel, and you're gonna sit there and tell me that's not Spielberg at its finest.
Duel is genius.
That's because he is raw, but.
But I think if you asked everybody in this room three good Spielberg movies, you're gonna get three different
answers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Close Encounters of the Third.
Three good Spielberg movies. Go.
Thelma and Louise, Gladiator. Oh wait, that's Ridley Scott.
Okay.
Oh, that's not a name drop.
Close enough.
The old Hammer directors. Terrence Fisher, I love. Universal, I like those. I liked all the old James Whale. Yeah, James Whale, definitely. Eli Roth, I like. Toby Hooper, John Carpenter.
Thank you.
I think those would be my favorites, yeah. I'm kind of all over the map. I like the old stuff and the new stuff, and I appreciate all the genres. I like Eli Roth because a lot of his shit's in your face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm all about that. I like that.
Right. Well, your movies are kind of like that.
I like the shock.
Yeah.
And I try hard to do it. And I've had people say, well, that's not like an honest emotion. And I'm like, well, hell, it isn't. If you can get somebody to feel something.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
And plus, what you're going for is what you're going for.
I want you uncomfortable.
Right. Right. Okay. This kind of, well, I know this for you for sure, and I thank you, but you guys all write your own things, right? You write your own films.
You don't write anything, right?
You just
absolutely not.
Twan writes this.
No, I take a raccoon. Piece. I take a piece of paper, write a square on it, fill here.
Okay, but do you literally do that?
I do. Yeah. They've seen it. John's seen it. Twan's seen it.
Fill here, speaking to just whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have free control. It's more organic and it works. If you've seen Radioactive Skunk, you've seen Rats, any of the stuff that I've done, it goes well.
The Rats episodes made that way.
Yeah.
Every single Rats, none of that was scripted.
Yeah, we don't need.
But why did he always tell me to write a script for it?
That was him.
Okay.
Yeah, these guys.
That's interesting.
Charles would at least, you know, yeah, I could shit on a napkin from you, but Charles.
Literally, anybody who worked with Charles,
there'd be a page.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, and no, it would say character speaks, character stops. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he goes, fill in the rest. And I'm like, excuse me.
Okay, yeah, so Charles had a point A to point B.
Yeah. This dude's on a napkin.
He's just like, no.
Go get him, Tiger. That's you're off.
Get out.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I?
And it works. And it works.
That's awesome, man.
Well,
I believe more in character development when you're writing.
You write full scripts because I've read a couple of them.
I gotta have it plotted out a little bit more. I write like a shot list. It's not so much a script, but I know where I'm gonna go with it.
You know, scene to scene.
Yeah.
Do you have your ending?
Yep.
Okay.
And there's dialogue in there. I mean, they're not complex, but
right,
I'm
right.
sorry, I keep looking it's at fine. You. I like to put the work in, you know. Yeah. Character speak.
We'll see, and that's the thing about filmmaking. Everybody's got their own approach to it. Right. So some stuff works for some people and some stuff
doesn't. It goes like this, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do, well, my last project, I had everything scripted, sent everything to everybody. It was documentary, but you still got to have
right,
lines.
Right, yeah.
Well, some stuff happened, and it totally blew the script out of the water. We could not use it, so we had to, like, backpedal and do some other things creatively. But
you wrote the narrative still?
Everything, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, Jeff's a really good writer. I lean on Jeff a lot when I'm in a pickle, and, you know, I ask all my friends, you know, different inputs, and like Jeff said, you take things from everybody else, and I like the script. I like what I'm going into. I want my actors prepared for it,
Do you like to write it yourself?
No, I hate to write.
Okay.
I hate to write, but it's a necessary evil because I know what I want, so right. I have to write it.
Right.
But if I had somebody, you know, that could write that stuff for me, I'd do it in a heartbeat. That. Yeah.
Do you like to write it?
I love to write. The reason I got into making movies was because of the writing.
Yeah.
So I love to write the stories, and then being a director, I get to make the movie come out the way I want the story to come out.
Right.
You know, so writing and everything has been the main reason.
When you're filming, you look at it as a book, sort of?
Correct. Yeah. So I have a script supervisor who makes sure the actors are on the script. But the thing with scripts is I think it actually gives the actors some structure, but it also lets them know what you want for the character. So then they can still add their own style to it. They can, you know, change lines or things, but we're on the same page for how we want the character to come out.
He's getting mad here.
No, yeah. I'm good.
Well, and it also depends on...
I got a good one for you.
You know, it also depends on how many people you have in your movie. So, like, the last feature I did, we had, you know, a cast of, like, 70 people. If you let 70 people go off book for everything, you're going to have a madness.
You might be able to go, like, okay, we're gonna, you get one shot,
right.
See what you got.
Right.
Okay, mine's better.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so what's your hope for your projects?
At least one person to like it.
Yeah.
That's just one person, because I know there's going to be one person out there that's going to hate it, but as long as one person likes it,
it kind of offsets it.
I'm cool with
it. But what if 400 people hate it, one person likes it, that's cool.
Well, I got 400 people to see it, or I sold that DVD to 400 people.
There you go.
I'll go with that.
Yeah,
I'll
that's fair. That yeah, said, that's huh? fair. Yeah.
What he says.
Yeah.
Or for Rama.
What do you think? What's your hope for your projects?
Did I get better as a filmmaker and as an artist?
I changed my answer.
You're going to hear now.
No, seriously. We brought up Charles. I'm going to bring up Charles. Charles called
Charles
me up.
Charles Shaver.
Yeah. He called me up one day, and he was pissed. I mean, pissed. And he went to the art wall. Is there any artists in here? Good.
None at this table, is there?
Well, you aren't at the Flint Art Walk, so he goes, I can't believe this fucking guy said something. I'm like, what? And he's like, he thinks us filmmakers, all we got to do is point, record, and stop, and it's a movie. And, I mean, he was just livid. It got me livid. I'm like, who is it? Because I'll kill him. You know, Charles will yell at him, but I'll snap the guy's neck. And he never, until the day he died, he never told me. And I was on him like flies on shit. And,
It was me.
No,
no.
But, no, you're a filmmaker. But it's just people think, I mean, filmmaking is so technical. People don't understand.
The editing alone.
Just the story. You can literally have a camera and turn it on, but if you don't capture the guy's eyes or his, I mean, everybody talks about Hitchcock. He was just a fucking genius. I mean, he was a god. I mean, anybody that don't know about Alfred Hitchcock, do some research on him, because he was just an amazing person. And there's just so much that you got to do. You got to show the audience your story. And that's what a lot of amateur filmmakers don't do, is they have something in their head, and then they'll show it. They'll put it on
the caterer.
Yeah, and then it happened to me with one of mine. We're in this story, and I edited the thing. I acted in the thing, and that guy goes, oh, yeah, that alternate dimension worked really good. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, we're in an alternate dimension. I'm like, where is that in the movie? And a lot of filmmakers do that. I mean, they'll tell a story, and it's not
what,
told by to the audience. I mean, you got to take the,
you gotta get it out there.
In the head.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Charles had a quote that always stays with me, even now. Like if I'm editing a video and I hit render,
and then you have to wait.
And Charles, one day on Facebook, it just popped up. Rendering steals my soul.
That was me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of you guys.
Yeah. Two to three point editing. So.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah. It's such an art form that, I mean, I appreciate all the passion that these independent filmmakers do, but you got to think of the audience and not yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people fall short of that. I mean, you can show something that's perfectly lit and everything, but if you don't show Twan his reaction, you just lost the whole shot.
Right.
And us with limited equipment, it's really hard to do.
Is what it is. It's patience, and I think you're right about it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
If you're paying attention, you'll get better.
Yep.
So my goal is the Peter Jackson.
Right.
You know, so
want to make a big movie.
Yeah. Well, then I want eventually to get to the point where, you know, big audiences are watching movie.
Right.
You know, the more people you get to see the movie, you know, I think the better. And then each movie you make is hopefully an improvement, getting better, taking steps forward, you know, mm-hmm. towards that goal. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome. We kind of talked about this a little bit, but what are some of the challenges when you're making a movie?
Actors.
Some of your actors are out
there.
And I'm calling him out.
So I think one of the biggest challenges as a filmmaker is knowing, you know, when to be right and when to be wrong. You know, so if you're making a movie, it's a collaborative effort. So you can start off as the director or whatever, but you have a team of people that are there wanting to make the same thing, you know, make it as good as they can. So being able to take all those people and being able to tell them yes or no, and still trying to keep everybody, you know, together making the same project. There are a lot of people who don't realize how much work goes into making a movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who, you know, want to be actors or be part of a crew, and when they get to work the first couple of days and they realize how much work goes into it, you know, they kind of lose the drive a little bit.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, kind of balancing that. And then as an indie filmmaker, you know, usually you don't have a lot of money, you know, so trying to figure out how to make a movie still look good, you know, with limited means.
Do you write to your means? Or so, do you write above it and then go back and try to figure it
well,
out?
Well, so for me, I look at it differently. So because I like to write, you know, direct and edit the movie. So when I'm writing, I only look at it as a writer. I don't look at it as a director whatsoever. You know, once I'm done writing, I take that hat off and put the director hat on. And then I only look at making, at directing it. And then editing is the same way. You know,
so
because
you do kind of just...
Yeah. So I write and go for it. So whatever the best story I can write is, and then as a producer director, it's my job to take that story and make the best movie you can.
Because yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, all right, I can shoot at this comic store.
Right.
Guess this takes place in a comic
right.
store.
Right. The biggest thing I found as a filmmaker is there's so many people that want to help you.
Right.
You know, so there has yet to be a location I haven't found for a movie. So it might taken more time to find it, or I might have had to tweak it a little bit, but there's always something available to you. So they always say that, you know, it's actually three different movies. The movie you write, the movie you direct, and the movie you edit. You know, so I think if looking at them all each independently helps you, you know, make the best with what you have. You know, if you get to editing and you're still stuck on the script but you weren't able to shoot some of the scenes, you know, now you could either let the movie fail because you couldn't do it the way you wrote it, or you can just make the best movie out of the footage that you have. Yeah. You know.
Wow, that's well said.
Thank you.
Yeah, well said.
Can I write that down?
Can I tell a story? I love actors, don't get me wrong, but one of my projects, this girl thought we were on a Hollywood movie and it took her 20 minutes to brush her teeth. So that like irritated the piss out of me.
Wait, was it Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Okay.
No, it was Dave Fulci.
It was the ghost. I can believe that.
No,
the ghost of Jane Mansfield.
Oh man, it's a tough. I mean, Jeff pretty much answered it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But I just something always goes wrong. It's either the audio or the lighting. I mean, those two are...
Audio will ruin everything.
Yep. And I've been pretty lucky where I, you know, we got friends around that can help and stuff. But, I mean, I love Tyler to death, but Radioactive Skunk was the funnest I've ever worked on a project. Mine or anybody.
Would you be perverted?
That's because me and John wrote most of it, but...
Out in Twan's driveway. Okay, we gotta fix
it. But, We did something and the audio was terrible and we fixed it.
I fixed it. All it took was one little 15-second shot to fix it.
Yep.
It was
what are your challenges?
My challenges?
Yeah, like
you ready for this one?
Yes.
How
maybe.
Long is the session going
to
be?
being able to film around your work schedule.
Right. That's huge. I agree with that.
Being able to, you know, film on your days off and trying to figure out how to film when you got free time, that is the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Considering that, you know, we work retail.
Right.
He works private sector, kind of.
Yeah. That makes it sound sexier than it is.
It does. But, that's what the big challenge is, at least for me, because, you know, we can't just film, you know,
all the time, six days a week.
No.
Right.
We got to film it in little spurts, and when I do, you overfilm.
Right.
And sometimes... And you can ask John this. When you're in a pinch, I can get the actors in and out.
He's quick.
Sounds like a different kind of industry.
No,
it's
private sector.
Private sector, in and out quick.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
If you only have like an hour with me, I can make that footage look pretty good, the right shots.
Well, he's watched me panic a couple of times. Okay, we get everything set up, night before, get the lights hooked up. Well, you got me for about 25 minutes. Oh, fuck. Tyler would be like, okay, just take a deep breath, John. You got to get a shot of the clock, get a shot of the feet walking in, and he's calmed me down. Okay. Well, we did that with 15 minutes to spare, Tyler. Thanks a lot. Now I'm going to go have a big slug of wild turkey and sleep for a little while, but
No, I've had actors show up, and, you know, their time's valued.
And it's too. Not what you thought.
Like, oh, no.
You had it planned out.
Like a couple hours, four hours, and it's like 25 minutes? There's like 20 setups we got to do.
Right.
He's been right there with the, what? I don't want to call him.
There's a few actors.
Words or.
Yeah, a few actors, and like, we can do this.
That's and cool. I don't pay. Thank God my friends. And there's a couple of them hiding back here. They do it out of the goodness of their heart.
Who works for free? Raise your hand. Okay. Hang on a minute. Let me give you my card after this.
It's not working for free. It's trading services.
It is.
They're donating their time and energy to your project. Call it.
No, you're right. It is.
I am forever grateful for that. Yep. You know, people just giving up their time like that. And they bring... The rush for me is when I hear them read my lines, or if they make my lines better.
Right.
I'm smart enough to some directing just to back up and let them do what they're going to do, and I'm getting smarter.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'll have Twan or Angie or something do a line, and can I rewrite this a little bit? Sure. Well, that's better than what I came up with, and I'm going to take full credit for it when the
right.
done. So.
Right.
Well, and that's the good thing about Michigan as a whole. There's so many people that are willing to help with projects and help each other. And, you know, it's more about a community of, you know, filmmakers than it is just one person making things.
That's true.
We help people follow their dreams.
Right. Yeah, what she said.
Or nightmares.
Yeah, there's
or nightmares.
There, I mean, the Sandy's here today. You know, the dudes from Rats are here.
Right.
I love YouTube stuff. Like Jeff said, there's so much talent. You know, just in this area. And
that kind of leads into this question that I had, like, what surprises you about new films or filmmaking in general? Because I see things on YouTube all the time. I'm like, what?
I think the one thing is that it's not necessarily that you have a completely original idea. It's that you take an idea and look at it in a new way. You know, so especially when you're making your first few projects, you know, don't go for the Peter Jackson movie, you know, go for the thing that you can kind of, you know, have the means to pull off. But, you know, like, actually we watched the movie Bride of Frankie, which is a retelling of Frankenstein movie, but it's done in a comical way, you know, so it's still an original idea, but you're using a, you know, kind of looking at it in a different way.
So you almost have to do that with anything now.
Right. Yep.
How many times have you guys sat there? Okay, how exactly are we going to do this? We're going to blow up the castle and first time out, I'd always write huge like that. We're going to have the fleet of spaceships coming out. And how are we going to do it? I don't know. I do not know. I couldn't count the times, but it seemed like there was always a way out of it. And I'm grateful to my friends. A lot of them were here. We'd figure something out. I don't know how. They used to be huge. Now I kind of write a little more scaled down with what I know I can do.
How long have you been making movies for?
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. I think that was an age question.
No, decades.
72, 73.
The reason why I'm asking is because.
Years?
Yeah. I'll tell you, these last couple of years have felt like. No, since the 70s.
Well,
I was 12, 13.
What's the. I know there's a huge. You can fill this in all day, but there's got to be a big difference between what you're doing then and now. In terms
I still
of
don't get it.
Equipment
I still can't believe it.
And everything.
I hear like the younger guys, how did you guys used to do it? Well, we take these little pieces of film and splice them. They're like, there was no alt delete.
Right.
No, you made a cut and you were done. You know, you'd pick up your film at Photomat. It was a whole different process. I went kicking and screaming into this digital bullshit.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is never going to
work.
When
did you start shooting digital?
2000, 2001 maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I'm a late bloomer. I fought it all the way. I said, there is no way that's going to take off.
Right.
Guess what? Everybody's doing it.
Did you shoot on VHS at any point?
No. I went from like Super 8 to, you know, what, the mini DVD tapes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a shock. It was different.
What do you like more about it?
This is easier.
Yeah.
This
control all.
Do you like the look of film better, though?
I do.
Okay.
I like the look of film better, but Twan, Angie, or whatever, they can do 50 takes this way.
Right. And not waste all your film.
Way back then, you had 3.5 minutes
per
roll. You know, it was expensive.
What a pain.
It was Oh, we got it. No, I didn't. I blinked. I'm supposed to be dead, but no, it's good enough. Let's go. That was the envelope come out. Let's go.
Roll.
Let's go to the next thing, you know.
Right.
Now you can do multiple takes, different angles.
Well, and kind of going back to another question you have, though, about the challenges, that's, as a filmmaker now, the biggest challenge is fighting how many people can make movies. You know, there's so many movies out now because it's so easy to get a camera or get, you know, a movie made or something. And being out, finding a way to kind of rise above the thousands of people making movies now is sometimes kind of a challenge, especially for all the festivals and things.
Right. So. What? Okay, what are some of the rewards then?
Well, it, for me, it pushes me harder. You know, I want, like, I want to make a better project. I want to, you know, spend more time in the edit, making sure that it comes out the right way and, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and then if once you do make it to whatever, it kind of gives you a boost of confidence that, you know, hey, I can stack up a little bit. And if you keep growing, you know, eventually you can compete with different people.
So I used to think, like, okay, I got this movie done and I'm entering in a festival and it's playing at this festival.
Right.
Huzzah.
Right.
You know, that's it. I'm good.
The for me included, like, the biggest thing to kind of get out of your head is that there's just, you're going to make a movie and there's just going to be a magical day where somebody sits down, here's $1 million, go make your next movie. You know, so there's a lot of work that goes into to getting to the point where you're making Hollywood movies or whatever.
Right.
You know, so it's just, there's no magical day where everything's just going to work.
No.
You know, it's a journey that you got to keep
taking.
And a
lot of it's networking.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of it's who you know.
Right.
Yep.
What about rewards for you?
Oh boy.
The chicks? No, I'm just kidding.
The monsters?
Yeah. I was in a band. I was in music up until I was 25, and you know, it's music's an art.
Equate what he said with
and
that.
Well, I made a point, like Jeff said, if I didn't make, and we got pretty big, if we didn't make the time I was 25, I was done. 25th birthday, yeah, I'm too old, blah blah, getting gray hair, so I quit. And I played sports all my life. I started playing sports. I thought that'd be a good outlet, and I never got that creative energy and spirit I had. And like I said, I was out hunting, fell in love with it, and it's the art I wish I. And back in the day, I music videos are also a big influence on me. And I seen these videos, I'm like, man, that'd be cool to shoot it. And then, you know, squirrel or girl with nice butt, you know, and I'd be off not thinking about it. So just that creative thing that I've actually done something like that. I mean, I love YouTube videos and I love watching other people's work. And
see, when I wasn't in a band, my wife was like, find something, because you're driving me crazy.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, I'm gonna make a movie.
Perfect. He's out of the house.
Right. Rewards.
Being able to say, "Hey, I went out and I made a movie for $25."
Right.
Which I have, but no, basically, because in the digital age, that even though you made this movie, you made all these other films, and all these other filmmakers are making these movies, your digital footprint's gonna be there forever. It's not going to be like a lost film that's going to be in a vault, catch on fire.
Right.
Or on a tape.
London After Midnight.
Or on a tape that somebody's going to rewind and tape General Hospital on it.
Right.
So basically, you left your footprint here, and it's going to be here for years to come.
Right.
I told you I had that talk with Charles, didn't I? When he got sick?
No.
We had kind of a sad evening. He was, you know, really down. And I said, Charles, we're going to live forever, man. And he just kind of looked at me, and I've told this story before. He goes, how do you figure that? And I said, man, you're on the internet. Anytime somebody wants to hear your voice, see your face, yeah, that makes me feel a little better. Hand the joint over. But it's the truth. I mean, good or bad.
Was that a little louder?
He said it. We're having a nice day.
No, but he was
he
really
said, get
down
to the point.
we were just talking about mortality.
Yeah.
He's had one of those evenings. You're gonna live
and I
forever,
just watched
man.
A clip of him meeting the ghoul like last week.
Forever.
Yeah.
It'll go on and on until Trump pulls the plug on the internet or
right.
whatever.
Right. Okay. this one's kind of tricky. I think. Do any of you guys compose for your movies? Any?
No, I
work with composers.
So, what do you think is the most important job? Writing, editing, soundtrack. I mean, I'm not going to say directing or filming, because obviously you're not going to have it without that.
Right.
Well, you won't have it without writing either.
But then, like, if you see,
well, I take that back.
Carpenter saying about he watched Halloween and no one was scared, then they put the music in.
Yeah. So there's the Alfred Hitchcock movie that came out about his life that had Anthony Hopkins playing Hitchcock.
Yeah.
There's a scene I love in that movie. He gets to the very end of the movie. They're about to show Psycho for the first time. He's out in the lobby greeting everybody as they come in. The last person walks in the theater, and instead of walking in the theater, he closes the doors.
Yeah.
And stays out in the auditorium. And then as the music starts going and the movie starts playing, you know, he starts moving his hands like an orchestra. And everywhere he wants, like, people to scream at, they scream or cry or, you know, whatever it is, you know. So all the components together, you know, help make the movie. But to me, I always think it starts with the story, the script.
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't have at least an idea for what you want for the movie, it's hard to do all the rest of the stuff.
But that music does punch it up.
It does. Yeah. And everything acts.
The concept is the most
important. I think the concept's most important. I think as an independent filmmaker, the biggest mistake a lot of people make is they don't pay enough attention to lighting and sound.
Yeah.
So if you're in a movie, watching a movie in a theater, and the lights go out or the picture drops, you can still stay in the story if you hear it.
Yep.
Right? So if the sound drops out, if you're not being able to see what's going on the screen, well, it's hard to follow it. So, you know,
sound is just...
Right.
Ugh.
And the better your lighting and the better sound is, the less quality camera you could use.
True.
You know, so it's a
quit looking
GoPro.
You know? He said quit looking.
My big thing is drums. These guys razz me about it. Oh, I love it. Hey, do you want to go have lunch? Dun, 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 dun. You know, sometimes it's ridiculous, but yeah, just to kick it up a little bit. Just, you know, nut punch a little bit.
Right.
But sometimes it's stupid. What time is it? 10:30. You know, man will be like, maybe you want to pull back on those drums. I love those drums, and I want that synth in there.
Yeah,
but the guy's just walking to the mailbox, John.
Yeah. Okay. The story, I mean, it's it's like loving a job. Who's your favorite job? Exactly.
Wow. You I was going to say.
No, you weren't.
Okay.
It's one of the 12.
I think he was.
But, my last project, like I said, shit happened. I had to totally redo what I envisioned, and I brought it to John, and John's very honest and loving about it.
I ass-raped him.
Yeah.
He was mad. He won't tell you.
I wasn't mad at all.
No, you
and
were mad. You got
me as a filmmaker, I took and I, like I said, a lot of filmmakers can't do it, pulled myself back and watched it. I'm like, fuck, John's right.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to tell you what it is because you can buy it out there for $10, but I pulled it out, and the Easy Does It and Soul Jar, Corey and Rick composed the music for it, and it's just absolutely stunning. And John told me what he really liked the story and stuff, and we were pulling out of the story too much. And
you've seen my movies. What do I know, man?
And anyways... And there's really good pictures in it. So what I did was, I told John I cut it, you know, and we call each other the Butcher Brothers because I'm not afraid to cut anything. And I cut it up, but what I did was I took those beautiful pictures and the awesome soundtrack and I extended it. And it actually helped the movie.
Hmm.
So, I mean, you can't, it's all intertwined. I mean, it's being and laying it.
The one thing I think you can do is... You can take a bad story and edit it a little bit better, but
turd polish.
You can't save it. Yeah, you can polish it a little.
Polish a turd.
I got chopped up on the internet, which is creepy too when you put a movie out. I have this review framed, so if my head starts getting a little big, I look at this review. Thank God I have something to load in my skeet shooter. I mean, this guy went on for three paragraphs. God. It was horrible.
Sorry.
But yours, you know, it was like a year later, I'm like, well, he was kind of right.
Right.
But it was awful.
Yeah, because
it's the most horrendous.
Yeah.
Filmmakers need to, you know, it's got to be clay and stuff. And, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's not going to like it. But, I mean, if you got to pull yourself out and be part of the audience. Yeah,
if 20 people give you the same suggestion.
Right.
Right.
Probably something.
You
can't be self-serving. Right. Because
we did get a higher rating than Avatar, though, from this dude. This guy was a dipshit. I'm like, wow. We got two. Avatar got one, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, that kind of gives me a sense of his.
I got the weirdest review for my Halloween documentary. and it was one star, and the lady goes, you know, I like that it was based on Halloween, but it's just too scary.
Okay. Your documentary?
Yeah. Yes. Wow. My documentary about me and my kids making a home haunt.
Was it about, did Lori write that?
No, she liked it. Anyway. Okay, how about, we got a few minutes here, so I'm not going to go through all these, but how about some local filmmakers that you admire?
Right here. Can I go?
Sure.
Right. Tom, go green.
Go green.
Yeah. I think Tom's got really good stuff. I mean, all these guys, I'm going to suck these guys' dick, but I mean, I love everybody's stuff.
Language.
It's above 18. We're good.
There's actually a lot of really, really good filmmakers in Flint. So, yeah. Jermaine Davis, Raphael Robinson makes some cool stuff. You got Mike Scott from Inner City. You got, you know, all of us. You got the Flint Rat film guys. You have Tabia, who's making really good stuff. So there's a lot of really, really good stuff.
I want to point to Twan, too. He's starting to
produce and direct.
I don't know about Twan, but Twan's son Ty does some really good stuff.
Oh. No, you're starting to
he gave you that material. Okay, I see.
Give Nod to the kids. No, and so actually, and to kind of give it a plug, so every month we've been doing like a filmmakers forum, and so a lot of the people from Flint have been kind of coming together to help each other out and, you know, promote each other and help fill in the gaps, you know. So we've had a lot of people come from there that, you know, you're able to actually meet some of the people that are making movies in your city, you know, so it's actually been cool seeing more of their projects, you know, and getting to know a lot of the people. So
awesome.
Yep. So wait, not Rubber Monster too, though.
Yeah.
You're awful quiet.
I'm good. Yes. I'm listening.
Okay.
Yeah, I helped shoot some of that.
What about future projects? Let's go to that, because I think that's about, we're about up at it.
We're not going to have a Q&A, are we?
Yeah, we'll have time for a little bit of Q&A. That's why I'm trying to save a few minutes here. What about some future projects that you're working on?
Nervous. Who wants to go first?
I'll go. Oh,
go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
It's your turn to sell, Roger Corman.
All right, where do I start? Radioactive Skunk, which is coming out in 2019. It is on track to be the first feature-length film of Atomic Swan Films.
For 90 minutes?
It's looking like it's going to be at least 90 minutes.
You know, you can go 70.
It's going to be at least 90, if not longer. This might have to be...
90, if not longer.
This might be our miniseries.
Oh.
There's also
Lifetime Channel.
There's also going to be two sequels to our ninja film that we made.
Where Twan fights everybody. As himself.
Yep, Twan fights himself as everybody. The first part was called Rise of the Ninja. The next two are called Revenge of the Ninja and Rise of the Ninja. Or excuse me. It is prequel, or it is...
Isn't it
right? Is this like a Halloween thing where you're resetting?
It's Rise of the Ninja, and then it's Revenge of the Ninja, and then it's going to be prequel of the Ninja.
Okay.
That's what the third one is, because every third movie is now a prequel. But we're also in negotiations to make a action-adventure film.
Wait a minute.
Who are Marvel Studios?
Yeah.
We're in negotiations.
Well, I thought that was happening.
It's in negotiations. We got to finalize some deals. But it is a action-adventure film called The Manila Extract.
Okay.
It's about a crackpot team of commandos going into Manila to save the vice president's son.
Manila Extract.
It just takes your breath away.
It's genius, bro. That's genius. Okay, we got a couple more minutes. So,
John, how are you going to follow that?
Wait, 90 minutes or more?
Yeah,
or more. Oh, I'll be on top of that.
I love you. So, any more future projects, guys?
I
want to get a couple questions.
I might do another ghost story next year, and then I'm working on a grindhouse called Death Row Sorority Massacre, and that's going to be fun. It's going to be a show. There was a film festival that needed some films, and Jeff was blasting it out. They needed to be under, 10 minutes?
Yep.
So I started looking through my stuff, and I'm just opposite Tom. I'm like, fuck, I ain't got nothing under 10 minutes. So I got a hold of Tom, and we're going to be writing that, and we're going to try to be under 10 minutes. It's just so hard for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm, you know.
That sounds cool.
And then, so currently right now, I'm finishing up a movie called The Forever Choice.
Right.
Which
You've been working on that for a while, right?
Yeah, so past year and a half or so. So I'm almost done with the editing. So it's a movie that focuses on suicide and depression, and so it's a little more serious. I want to kind of bring attention to that.
I read the script for that, right?
Yeah. So when I was doing the script, I reached out to a lot of people to get feedback to make sure I was, you know, being respectful to the material and, you know, showing it in a positive light. And so after that, we'll be doing another feature in the spring called Confined Hatred.
Cool.
So seven strangers wake up in a room, and the only common thread is that they all hate each other.
Kind of like here.
You got it.
Yeah, anything coming up?
Believe it or not, Executioner's Tale 7. And we're... Go ahead. Let me have it. I have a franchise.
Set 73.
And I just... I want to watch the faces here. We're writing a comedy called Mars Needs Pussy.
Wow.
One giggle, two... Okay.
They'll be casting.
When's that going to be available?
Well, well, we're still looking for the pussy, but...
Sometime after Uranus.
Yeah, it's going to be a fake trailer about a Martian invasion, and they come to Earth looking for, say it.
I don't say that word. No, I don't.
Mountain Dew.
No.
Poon JJ.
All right, we got about 4 minutes for questions.
Oh, boy.
What do you?
I'm upset that neither one of you, after especially knowing Tyler, suggested it to a small group of children last week at the Flint Comic Festival, his favorite horror movie being Cannibal Holocaust.
They asked what movie never to watch. I said never watch Cannibal Holocaust.
And then I walked
up.
That's
like a recommendation.
Ask Paul about that.
Yeah.
Now they want to watch it.
No, I told them don't watch it.
No, don't watch
that. That's a rough movie. Yeah. Just don't do it.
You can't tell kids not.
Well, they asked me which one. And
what should I not watch?
Well, first of
okay,
all,
I won't.
They're going to have to find a video store to find it because you ain't going to find that shit on Netflix.
The internet is a big thing, my friend.
You can find it.
A video store.
Wow.
Yeah, Tyler. I was wondering when you were talking about that. What's called in skunk? The skunk.
Radioactive skunk.
Yeah, radioactive skunk. Yes, I was wondering how much scenes of hot chicks, you know, making Superman happy. I didn't want to be in this one.
We don't have any hot chicks yet. But what you do get
is a bunch of old
you do
guys
get you do a... get a 9-minute gratuitous scene of me getting covered in green Astroglide.
This movie just sells itself, folks.
So wait, that's longer than his whole movie that he's gonna make.
Yeah,
that's why it's 90 minutes.
Hey John, do you want to come over and shoot me with Astroglide out of a squirt gun? I'm like, fucking right.
Who would say?
I spent 20 minutes just hosing him in the face with it,
and the camera hadn't even started rolling yet.
Yeah. Okay, Matt.
We probably got time for one more question if anybody has any. If not, well. Like,
well,
thank
my
you.
Thought was, when you write a movie, okay, I mean, because I write songs, obviously, when you write a song, it's finished, voila. But let's say you have a great thought, and it's like, it could, like, double the interest of the movie. Right at the last second, how difficult or how easy would that be to incorporate that? Like rebuilding scenes?
It's easy if you're directing.
Actually, that happened to me on Killer Raccoon Fish. I bought a $70 camera.
3D. Sorry.
I bought a $70 camera that shot in red and blue 3D. I'm like, let's make a monster movie. We did not know how bad the sound was going to be on this shitty camera. So the sound was so bad, it was just sound like garbled up, you know, like garbage. So what I did is I shot a scene of a gentleman putting in a VHS copy of the movie. So you're watching the movie as if it's a shitty VHS movie.
That's exactly it.
That's a
good job.
And one little scene can fix an entire movie.
Nice. All right, we'll give it up for these Flint filmmakers. And we got another panel coming up here. Let's see. At 5:40. At 5:40. Let's all meet back here. For Tom and Ryan.
That's I can. It's my block.
Ouch.
It's your block.